What you're currently hearing is the sound of 1,000 screaming fangirls. They have just been graced with the presence of Tom Hiddleston.
He plays Loki, the villain in the Avengers and other Marvel films. He showed up at Marvel's panel at San Diego Comic-Con last year, in costume and in character.
As you can imagine, people went nuts.
The entire audience knelt before him at his command, willing to do anything for their supreme leader.
Such is the nature of fandom.
Attention, the material you're listening to is
radioactive!
Hello and welcome to Radioactive,
a youth radio program at KUOW. I'm Sophie Ding.
And I'm Kendra Hanna. And today we're talking about fandom.
Let's define our terms here. Fandom is a combination of the words fanatic and kingdom.
It refers to the intense devotion and community you can find in a fan base of something like a TV show or a book series.
And a willingness to kneel en masse before the object of your affection.
Some popular fandoms include those of Harry Potter and Star Wars, and people can get obsessed with their franchise.
Some fans of Japanese comics will wake up at 3 a.m. to read the latest translated scans uploaded from the other side of the world.
You may think that's obsessive, and that is because you have yet to meet Madeline Eubank.
Laura, it's your best friend Maddie, and I need you to pick up the phone. Laura, pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up. Laura, pick up the phone!
Hello?
Oh my god, Laura! Oh, okay, you picked up the phone. Okay, I have something really, 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 really exciting to tell you. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah, totally.
Ready? It's a really important question. Okay, will you be my maid of honor?
Yes?
Oh my god, okay,
yeah,
I'm so excited.
totally.
Okay,
girl,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool, okay, I was kind of worried about that, you know? It's just kind of like, oh, big question.
Yeah, wait. I'm a bit confused. You should give me some details.
So I met this guy online, right?
Online, okay.
Okay, yeah, his name is Ben. He's like, he's kind of old-ish. Kind of old, but...
Hang on. Define old.
He's older than I am. And
by how much?
20 years, but it's
Maddie!
Cool because whenever I tell people I'm engaged, they're never very happy for me. I mean, I'm 17, so I guess people think I'm too young. But Juliet was married when she was 13, and that turned out to be the love story to end all love stories, so who's laughing now?
I don't know if I'm comfortable with this.
But once you meet him, it'll be so awesome. In fact, I think you might have already, like, I think I showed you a picture of him, didn't I?
Oh.
Did I tell you his name was Benedict Cumberbatch?
Oh, dude, seriously? Come on. I was actually legitimately concerned.
Benedict Timothy Carlton Cumberbatch is a 37-year-old British actor, most famous for his role of Sherlock in the BBC series of the same name.
The name Sherlock Holmes and the address is 221B Baker Street. Afternoon.
Well, his age isn't the only obstacle to our impending marriage. You see, there are thousands upon thousands of delusional women asking Ben to marry them in YouTube comments. They call themselves Cumber Cookies. Together, the Cumber Cookies form a Cumber Batch. The Cumber Batch is among the strongest fandom gangs on the internet. Simply put, if you don't like Benedict Cumberbatch and value your life, stay away from Tumblr. Laura thinks I'm another one of those voracious fans. Another woman who will only date men with chiseled cheekbones, a deep British accent, and tousled hair. But Ben understands. Don't you, Ben?
Well, yeah.
We'll show them.
I feel emotional kind of feeling. A big smile, a big heart.
Aww.
I do not ever want it to be anything but our affair. I must be with you.
Oh, that's the sweetest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Oh, and P.S.? He's mine.
For Radioactive, that was Madeline Cumberbatch.
Where do you stand on the Benedict Cumberbatch face issue, Sophie?
He's very interesting looking and very recognizable.
I'm sensing some hostility here.
What? No.
You just don't get it. He has like cheekbones of granite. I really love Sherlock though, so maybe I'm a bit biased.
Just a bit.
Fandom isn't always looked upon favorably. A recent example is the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic fandom,
which has gotten pretty heavy media coverage because of the large numbers of grown men who love a cartoon about bedazzled pastel ponies.
And unicorns. And Pegasi.
In an unforgiving world, who wouldn't want to retreat to a place where friendship is magic? Bronies are a group of people who live by that.
Chris Odie reports.
My little pony, my little pony, ah, my little pony. I used to wonder what friendship could be. My little pony, until you all shared its magic with me.
My Little Pony was a show for little girls that first appeared in the 80s. And you might think that the 2012's revamped version is also just a show for little girls. But it's gone into something a little different, and this has created a following of people who have aptly been named bronies. I am one of them. Now, bronies are just average people. They might be the person next to you on the bus, a coworker, or even your local newscaster. And they're everywhere, all over the world and in every corner of the internet. All of this in a few short years. So why has this show attracted so many people? What about this show is so fascinating? I asked a few of our local bronies to clue me in.
What's your favorite part of the show?
The characters and the story.
The songs, the music.
They have those kind of adult characteristics.
Story development, watching the characters interact.
The people you just heard weren't chosen at random. They all work for our local Brony Convention, Everfree Northwest, where all manner of people come together and celebrate their love for ponies. Or as Everfree likes to put it, their mission is to bring Equestria to Earth for 3 days. By the way, Equestria is the land where the show takes place. Cole Daigneau, the social media lead for the convention, explains why you don't have to love ponies to like the show.
The reason that bronies like My Little Pony is because it tells a good story and because it's got good characters. The fact that they're ponies is almost inconsequential. At least it is until they actually get into it and they're like, yay, ponies, you know?
But this idea of a bunch of adults liking a show for little girls doesn't sit well with some people. And thus, bronies have gotten a lot of negative media coverage. Jonathan Agnew is the convention's business lead, and he tells us about one of the more absurd media misconceptions.
My favorite mainstream media story about bronies is that we all get welfare and we're unemployed. And it's like, yeah, you become a fan of My Little Pony and then you get welfare. All right, I don't see exactly the connection, but you're entitled to your opinions, however insane they might be.
Bronies may be seen as lazy, but that idea doesn't hurt people. The more common stereotype is that bronies are child predators. This idea is actually damaging to the community. Now, I will say that with every fandom, there is a darker side, and that usually gets exposed by the media more often. So, I asked Jonathan if he thought that this dark side of bronydom presents an issue for the younger viewers of the show.
It does, but I really do think that the people who are into the, you know, what you say, the darker parts, you know, whether it's, you know, violent or pornographic or just not, you know, oriented for children, I generally think they do a really good job of making it so that, you know, a kid might not accidentally stumble across that kind of thing. And they do kind of self-regulate themselves into their own sort of small communities.
So there are some people who are bronies because of this darker side. But they're a minority. Most people come simply because they love the show, but they stick around for the community. Autumn Hiddle is one of Everfree's security leads, and she says that conventions tend to give a good demographic for a fandom as a whole. Last year at Everfree, out of 2,000 attendees, only one person was removed from the convention for misconduct. So, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic is a show about the acceptance of others, among other things, and bronies take those values from the show and use them as a foundation to create together. Autumn Hiddle also explains how those values come across.
Everfree Northwest has a charity auction every year. This past year, we raised nearly 30 grand for Seattle Children's Hospital.
But the bronies' generosity doesn't end there. Shortly after the convention, Autumn was informed that she needed a wheelchair, the cost of which was $1,500.
And as a mother with four children, I don't have that kind of spare cash laying around. So I brought it to the community, and they delivered.
That's right. They paid for her wheelchair. The community raised a total of over $1,800, enough for Autumn to get her wheelchair and donate the extra money to Seattle Children's Hospital. But this isn't unique. Bronies look out for their own, especially when it comes to bullying. A couple of months ago, there was an incident involving an 11-year-old Brony who was bullied for liking the show because he was a boy. It got so bad that he tried to kill himself and ended up in a coma. For Autumn, and many other Bronies, this came as a shock that loving a show that teaches community values could cause this type of pain.
Some people are bigots. A little bit strong words, but when you tease an 11-year-old enough to the point where he tries to commit suicide, that's bigotry. What I saw immediately afterwards was an outpouring of love and support and generosity. The community had raised nearly $50,000 for his treatment. This young man has not yet woken from his coma, but most of his medical bills are being covered by the Brony community.
This kind of coming together is unusual, especially when it comes to groups of strangers. Jessie Tracer is a graphic designer for Ever Free, and she speculates on why people don't go out of their way to meet strangers.
Right. In the outside world, you know, there's always the sense that there's somebody just waiting for a crack in the armor, just waiting for a moment to take advantage of you, because we see it happen so frequently.
Bronies are a group of people that can step outside of that. And it's this deep connection that Bronies have to the community that many people don't understand.
They're wondering, where's the catch? When can this be used against us? They're afraid to let go and join in. But I think everybody really does want to at some level. And the people who genuinely don't, I'm a little afraid of.
That outside world is the one we live in every day. It's closed and secluded from those we don't know. But that's why it's good to have a supportive community, to help us burst through those barriers. And that's where the physical community meets the online one. That's what Everfree is for. Whether you just watched your first episode or you've been watching since the very beginning, there's not a lot of intolerance. No gatekeepers saying you're not nerdy enough to be here. And that's what being a Brony is about. That's what makes us different. With that, Hans-Peter Ziegler, the convention's chair, invites new and old fans to experience that difference.
I'm extraordinarily thankful to this fandom, to the people that have supported us so much, and I really hope that if you guys out there listening really want to, you'll come and see us at Everfree, because it's an incredible place, and I think you'll enjoy it.
This year, Everfree Northwest is from July 4th through the 6th. For Radioactive, I'm Chris Odie.
Have you experienced such goodwill in a fandom, Sophie?
I've made good friends with people because we have this one thing in common.
It is kind of cool to see someone walking down the street with a t-shirt of something you like and being like, hey, you're a cool person. You like the same thing as me.
We asked some people at SakuraCon and NorwestCon about fandom.
Fandom is the result of people liking something way too much.
Wow. A lot of crazy people in one group.
There are all these little subgroups, these subcultures of people that are brought together by a common interest, so they're essentially common interest groups.
A fandom's pretty much a conglomerate of just people who like a single series or comic or movie of any kind, and they all group together to have their own inside jokes and anything involving the actual show or series itself.
You'll have the Star Trek fandom who fights with the Star Wars fandom who fights with the Doctor Who fandom. So it seems like a very cohesive whole, but I actually think it can be quite divisive.
Do you belong to any fandoms yourself?
I am Behuvian and a Brony.
Once Upon a Time.
Noragami.
Red Dwarf.
Firefly. Who doesn't love Firefly?
Kill a Kill.
Star Wars. Stargate. Star things, I guess.
Space.
Space is pretty cool.
So how have fandoms affected your life?
I'm broke because of it. It takes up a lot of your time and money.
It's definitely provided a strong social connection for me.
I spent a fair amount of time following things that I like.
It helps me be more social and more out there, and it helps me make friends.
I think it made it for the better.
Could you imagine meeting someone who helps make something you love?
Neither could some students at Tequila's Foster High School.
Until they did. Ardo Hersey reports.
I go to Foster High School. It's a small school in South King County, and it's pretty ordinary. We aren't like Garfield High School, who had Jimi Hendrix or anything like that. But it's still cool. it got even cooler in room 301 when we got a special visitor. He works on comics for a hit TV show on Cartoon Network.
Adventure time. Come on, grab your friends. We'll go to very distant lands. We'll take the dog and then the human. The book will never end. It's adventure time.
Adventure time. It's about a post-apocalyptic world after the Mushroom War, where the last human and his dog go on epic journeys all over the land of Ooh. There's a ludicrous wizard, a vampire, Princess Bubblegum, who rules over the Candy Kingdom, and my personal favorite, LSP, the Lumpy Space Princess.
I know I'm already pretty smoking, but I bought this swimsuit, so I need a swimsuit butter.
But the show isn't everyone's cup of tea. Like this student, who refers to himself as the Hash Singing Slasher.
It's the most godforsaken show on the planet. I'm glad I'm not a child, you know, and had to grow up watching that. Like, I'm really, like, disappointed in Cartoon Network for coming up with like that. I advise anybody and everybody to not watch that.
Some children are glad to be watching a show like that, like my little brother Momo.
I love Adventure Time.
Momo has a lot in common with some of the students at Foster High School. Alexis Richardson, Janessa Simpson, and Maleko Lamoda tell us what they love about Adventure Time.
I like how they're always on an adventure, all the time. They never make anything a sad situation. They always try to pick each other up.
Now let's go get that book.
Yeah, you're the smartest dog I know, man.
That's hilarious.
My favorite thing about Adventure Time would be how random it is and yet still funny. That's my favorite thing about it.
So back to the visitor room 301, where things were getting interesting. Brayden Lamb is a comic book artist and a colorist. He draws Adventure Time comics. They come out once a month, and it's a comic about the show. He's also a graduate of Foster High School. Brayden and I even had some of the same teachers. He says it's awesome being a part of such a hit show.
It's pretty fun to know that I'm in some way a part of that. I don't have any illusions that I created those characters or anything, although some people are confused about that, and I try to correct them whenever I can, because I don't want to take credit for all the great work that other people have done.
Carlos, Michelle Martinez, and Alexis got to hear about what Brayden does for a living. Brayden also taught students how to draw characters from the show.
Was it cool meeting the comic book artist last week?
Oh yeah, I had him autograph my comic book.
We learned some history about him and what he does during his comics and stuff. And you get pretty lucky when you're doing comic.
It was really interesting because, I mean, you got to meet one of them, like someone from up all the way up there coming down to our school and showing what he does for a living.
Brayden advised the students to do one thing, and that's to keep on practicing.
I would tell young artists, just keep drawing, keep doing your art. You can't go wrong with more practice. It's also make friends with other artists, and they'll tell you where you're going right and where you're going wrong. They'll help you grow, and you can help them grow.
So, my brother Goss is one of the biggest Adventure Time fans out there. This dude even sewed Princess Bubblegum's head for a school project. Yeah, as a pillow. He sewed it himself.
The only thing is, the gas will spread and knock out anyone who breathes it.
He sewed her head. He loved to draw since I could remember. So meeting Brayden was extra special for him.
What's your name, sir?
Psych, I'm with my brother, Goss.
Hi, I'm Goss.
How did you feel about meeting somebody who worked in one of your favorite shows?
It was really interesting, yeah. It made me feel like the role's a lot smaller, you know? Like, it's not as big as we expected it to be, you know? You came from Foster, you know? I'm making cartoons and stuff. You can feel like I can do whatever I want now.
Who knows? Maybe Goss or some other kid from Foster will get to draw comics or have, like, their own quirky TV show one day and come back and visit Foster in 15 years. With Radioactive, I'm Ardo Hersey.
Many thanks to Ardo Hersey, Chris Odie, and Madeline Eubank for their great stories and their great theories as to how Sherlock survived the jump.
If you're totally fangirling over Radioactive, you can check us out at kuow.org/radioactive. Picard says, make it so.
If Joss Whedon told you to like our Facebook page, would you? Yes. Yes, you would. So go like our Facebook page, Radioactive Youth Media.
Radioactive is led by Jenny Asarno and Lila Katayev, who work together even better than Taiga Kagami and Tatsuya Kuroko.
I would say that Jenny is more of a Captain America and Lila is more of an Iron Man. Don't forget Ann Kane, our Agent Coulson.
Thanks for listening, and may the odds be ever in your favor.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Winter is coming.
Do, 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 do. Wah, wah.
I think that was supposed to be the Doctor Who theme song.
You're so mean. It was definitely the Doctor Who theme song. It was so good.